Hey, it's Chaz and AJ.
Hello.
Thank you for listening to our podcast.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoy it. And please subscribe, comment, share, do all those things that make us look good.
And be nice.
Thank you. I saw the video and just kind of kept scrolling.
Yeah.
I just thought it's like bad behavior.
Yeah.
More bad behavior. What happened?
What happened, apparently there was a paddle boat or one of those like river boats supposed to dock in this one designated area. And
right, so there's a bunch of people on this boat. It's like a tour or something?
Yeah,
tour
so, yeah, those kind of like, see the Carolina Rice thing with the big paddle wheel in the back?
Yeah.
And they had the, that was their docking space, and someone with a pontoon boat parked their boat right there. So the captain got out and said, listen, you got to, you know, move your boat. This is where we park, because they got to let people out off the boat and everything. That turned into an argument. That turned into fisticuffs. That turned into everybody from both sides just jumping in.
I saw
like
some of the worst fighters ever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not great.
Guy, see one guy dive into the water and swim to the dock to join the fight.
Is that right?
Yeah, yes. One guy actually jumped and swam across the water, got on the dock, and then started swinging.
Okay, wait a minute. If this boat is out in the water, who are the people fighting on the dock? There's the pontoon people.
Right. Well, the boat
there's two groups, pontoon people
and
then the riverboat people.
Right. And that's up against the dock. It's not fully docked yet.
Oh.
In other words, he's up against the dock, but he has to park it still. And this guy's sitting right in the wrong spot.
Okay.
And he just said, you got to move your boat. That's all.
They call him a dock worker. Not the captain.
Right.
Okay.
And I think what defending was other dock workers and also people that are like, oh, justice is not being served. And then people just wanted to go help this guy. Because it was like a drunken family, basically, on the pontoon boat.
So it was dock workers against the pontoon people?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. But then it gets a little muddled because then strangers start to get involved.
Yeah, everybody got involved. Everybody just joined
heroes.
It goes from like 3 to 5 people to all of a sudden there's like a dozen or more. And you know, I can't keep track of who everybody is.
And someone start using chairs? Like chairs are being hit.
The big thing is the
like
chair.
WWE brawl. Yeah. Like chairs are being hit. And
now you're making me want to watch this video you're right, AJ. It was everywhere.
Yes.
And I'm just like, I refuse to watch another group of people being bad.
Yes, there's a lot of ugly out there.
I'm good.
You just can't do all of them.
But this was entertaining, especially that guy jumping in the water and swimming across to join the fight.
Damn, now I want to watch it.
I got to tell you,
it
starts entertaining.
Yes.
So like you see like there's the pushing and shoving. One guy's got the shirt off, his hat's backward.
Pink shorts.
And then the dock worker takes his hat and throws it away, sort of like, okay, I'm not a dock worker anymore.
Now
you got to come at me.
Now it's on.
The hat in the air was just like, ring the bell.
And it's like cop taking his hat off.
It's that unbelievable.
We're going to fight now.
That was it's on now, yes. Right.
Because I saw it like you did, like all over the place, and I ignored it. And a buddy of mine goes, did you see this? And he said it. I go, I've seen it. He goes, all right, you're not laughing, so you didn't watch till the end. Watch till the end.
Yeah.
So that I didn't watch.
Oh, really?
More things just keep coming. More like characters keep coming out of everywhere and jumping in.
Well, like someone in like a...
And the
best, dressed as an elephant.
Like
a clown comes in with a bottle of seltzer.
But the best part is, as this fight's going on, some folks, it's a floating dock, so some folks are going in the water. So you see some guy throw punches.
Yeah, it's crazy.
If you keep on watching the fight, every now and then you see someone pull themselves out of the water onto the dock.
So and also,
I have to watch this now.
So there's the dock. There's people that are arriving from the water. There's people that are coming down the stairs, and then as the camera pans out, you see that there are tears, and like people are like leaning over the fence. There's yelling, and you just see people move. It's like an ant colony. You just see people running in different directions.
Yeah.
They disappear, and then they show up on the dock seconds later.
Yeah.
It's just like you just keep seeing people involve themselves.
And a couple of shots is here of people. There's a sea of cameras. Everybody's videotaping it. And like there's a whole like a contingency of people on an upper level.
That's why we're seeing different angles.
Yeah, exactly. That's the reason why the police are having an easy time with this, because there's tons of video from every single angle. Well, there's no water camera, but yeah.
But why do we... Do we care? Like, do we need to make arrests here? Or is it just like, all right, everyone go on their own way?
I think just because they're fighting in a public place, I think that's the reason why they're doing it.
Mm.
I don't know. They got to do something.
It was like the end of The Outsiders, you know what I mean? Like, all of a sudden, just fighting everywhere.
It was SummerSlam. The chairs, I mean, people falling in the water.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Shirts coming off for no reason. You're like, what's happening?
It was awesome.
Alabama. So three people have been charged so far, and I guess they're going through video and picking people off.
Yep.
There's a lot.
Literally. There's going to be a lot of arrests.
The hat toss is still my favorite.
Oh, no. The guy jumping into the water to swim to the fight was my favorite one. And he swam fast, too. And he's like, he swims, he pulls on the dock, next thing you know, he gets...
Then you, well, the you're swimming, gets, and then you got to pull yourself up.
Pull himself up.
And it's a good
it's
pull.
A lot then, of energy
the
already.
And then he, now you got to fight.
The yeah. second he hits that dock, he's swinging. I mean, he's like, okay, now my... green or blue shirt.
He's the guy who's looking for a fight.
Yes.
He's like, thank God, a fight has made its way to me.
Yeah, and it wasn't a short swimming. You see, like he's swimming like the Olympics, the swimming thing.
So this is
he's the whole hand on the water.
What do they call those events where you're swimming and then you're riding
triathlons.
A bike? Yeah, it's like a triathlon.
Yes, the swimming punch. Yes,
swim, climb, punch.
And the way he comes in, it's like almost like a stage because he comes from the top of the screen. You're like, you don't expect a guy. Wait, there's a guy. And it's the water. You see a guy coming up. He pulls up. There's commotion. He has to pull up like 2 feet on the dock and then be ready to fight.
And how does he do? And when he starts fighting,
oh yeah,
no one does well.
You hit a couple of times. The thing, you're either punched out or you fall in the water. But the best, all was missing was someone swinging in on a rope. That's all that was missing.
It would have gone full Goonies at that point.
Everything.
Yeah.
It was a complete fracas. It was chaos.
You know, now I regret scrolling past it. I just remember. I saw a second of it. It looked like drunk people fighting.
Yeah.
You know, where you're missing and you're falling
you're
over.
Wrong. You're not wrong. You read it right.
Right.
But wait, there's more.
But the fact that more people.
There is comedy there.
More people kept on jumping in was the most amazing thing because it just didn't end.
Like it never ends.
It didn't end.
Okay, this is going to be it.
I got captivated.
Like, oh, no, here's some new players.
I got captivated. Every time, like, oh, he's in. You know, it was almost like, they smacked hands and jumped in.
Right.
Yeah. Again,
tag team.
The guy in the water, man. And that's when I was hooked. I'm like, oh, this is
all
awesome.
Right. I gotta watch it during the commercial break. We're talking about brawls you've been in. 203-882-9757. Josh and Shelton.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Hey, Josh. So this is, quite a few years ago when I was still playing softball. Me and all my brothers were on one team just once because. We don't get along that well, but we always have each other's backs.
Who, your brothers or the team?
The beginning of the game. No, my brothers. We
okay.
Butt heads. Let's
all right.
It that way.
That's normal.
So,
yes.
I'm playing first base. My brother's playing third. My other brother's playing left field. We're warming up in the beginning of the inning. And the pitcher doesn't to look to everybody to see if he's ready to start the game. So I'm on first. I'm turning my back because I know the lefty that's starting in the batter's box. So I turn with my back to home plate to tell the right fielder and the center fielder to close the gap because I know he's a full hitter. Well, the pitcher doesn't see that my back's turned, and he pitches the ball, and all I hear is the metal and the ball make the connect and go bing right over my head. So before I can turn around to get myself in position, I'm in the runner's base path.
Oops.
So he basically shoulders me out of the way. Completely my fault because I wasn't ready because the pitcher didn't check. So the kid runs past second, slides into third, dusts himself off. Now he doesn't know that my brother's playing third base.
Uh-oh.
Gets up, he goes, that fat mother effer better watch himself. My brother takes his glove, throws it down. Boom, hits him right in the jaw, knocks him down, and then all of a sudden, all the bench is clear. The whole outfield, my brother comes running in from left field, and the umps are going crazy. Whoa, what are you guys doing? And my brother's got the kid on the ground. He goes, that was my brother. And he just keeps hitting him one more time, and then the ref pulls him off, and you just see, like, all these just, normal kids we all grew up with are just all yelling, screaming, pushing, fighting out of nowhere, dude. The first play of the game, and here we are. Everyone's covered in dirt, throwing stuff. The umps are like, that's it. Everyone go. We're done.
Best time ever.
Oh, yeah, you playing.
All you needed was a riverboat and some water.
Exactly, yeah. Right. One guy to swim across.
The water might have helped, actually.
Yeah, his brother out in left field was the one who was the swimmer.
That was the swimmer. Okay,
that was the swimmer.
That's awesome.
Fun. And you weren't even, it wasn't even the end of the game. Everyone's drunk.
Yeah. The beginning.
First play.
Right from the get-go.
Exactly.
I was resting the game.
It was just one of those.
It was over.
One of those random things. Yeah. Like, the pitcher didn't check, and then one thing led to another, and then fists are flying, and I'm like, because I'm 10 years older than my brother, so, like, I've always had his back, and it was, like, the first time he ever had mine, and I'm like, All right, Jason. All right, dude.
Yeah.
High five.
Only I call him fat.
That's right. You can't call him fat. I call him fat.
All right, Josh. Thank you. Glad you held on.
Yeah,
great story. Brawls you were in. Ed and Monroe.
Hey, how we doing, guys?
Good, thank you.
Hello.
Yeah, I could talk better. The best one I was in was back when I was in the Navy. It had to be like 84, 85.
Thank you for your service.
Yes, thank you, sir.
No problem, sir.
Oh, no, what happened?
Oops. I see him still
down in Fort Cuba. And, Gitmo at the time was long before it was being used as a prison, so there was nothing there.
Gitmo.
So we get back. Yep.
Okay.
So we were off Gitmo doing the sea trial thing, and we pull in that night, just dock there, and there's nothing at this place. So what did drunken sailors do? We get drunk.
Yes.
So we go to the EM club, except there's us and Marines, and of course we have a couple of, as they get drunk, aggressive guys who happen to manage to annoy the Marines really well. And it turns into like this all-out brawl in the middle of the EM club, chairs and things and people flying. And by the time they break up the fight, they take us back to the boat. They throw us.
Can I just interject here that the difference between this and the riverboat fight was that you guys are trained fighters?
Yes.
There's fist connecting.
Right. Their punch are landing. Yep. All kinds of tactics.
Headlocks.
Whatever you were trained to do is being used. Yep.
Right.
There's strategy.
Even though you're drunk. I mean, this is a fight.
Right. Coordinates, everything.
Yeah. This isn't people falling out of flip flops and
no. Right.
Chucking hats
and getting push up knocks.
Right.
A bit more. Yeah. So, it got interesting. Yeah, so then they throw us all in the cattle car and take us back to the ship. And, of course you get in trouble for fighting because you're not supposed to do that.
Right.
And unless you don't get caught, then it's okay.
Right.
They take us back and, then before we're able to go to our next port, they put us all on liberty restrictions so that we had to be back by like 8 o'clock at night because now we're bad people.
Right.
For getting drunk and fights. But yeah, that was the biggest one.
So your CO doesn't come in and say, okay, you were fighting with Marines, not good.
Right.
We're all on the same team.
Right.
But did you win?
Yeah. Good job.
the Marines were a tad bit more aggressive than we were at that point.
They
did a number.
Well, think about the lifestyle. The Marines are usually first ones in.
Yes.
So they got to be ready for all of that stuff.
I would not fight in my life.
Navy, pretty good gig.
Yes.
I mean, dangerous,
right.
But you have a bed, you have 3 meals a day,
right.
You're on a ship.
Right. The Air Force can do 2 things.
You got it right. You're firing stuff from the ship over there. Like, let's just F with them right from here.
Right. Yeah, we're good.
We don't have to go there.
Keep my distance.
We'll drive the Marines there, drop them off, and go ahead. You guys go.
I got all my coffee.
You guys should have a good time. We'll be over here with our cotton.
Right.
3 meals.
Exactly.
The best part was the Marines were in charge of taking us back to the boat. So, of course, they got a couple of extra licks in while we were, restrained.
Oh.
Well, thank you for your service.
Yes, thank you.
Great story, man.
Yep, no problem. Thanks, guys.
All right, brother. Alex in Berlin.
Yes, sir. Guys, are you there?
Yeah.
So far.
Good morning.
Morning.
Good
morning.
To be here. Long story short, I was dating my wife back then. She was my girlfriend at St. Joseph's. And she was, back then it was like all girls school. So we had all graduated high school. We were all in college our first year. We decided to take a trip down to the college to visit my girlfriend. And it was me and a bunch of my friends just to, visit and maybe,
We don't need these details.
So how did the fight start?
Yeah.
You said long story short.
Imagine if he said long story longer. Right?
It's a long one.
I have 45 seconds.
Okay, my wife's in RA duty. She's got to check IDs. We had a check-in. It was like a group of us, boys. We had like fake IDs. We put them in there. And then this other group of boys came in with fake IDs too. And then,
hey, thanks. Good morning, Jimmy. I almost want to say sorry for your loss with Robbie Robertson. I know that you booked them for, you know, the biggest show in the history of shows.
Yeah.
And pretty sad.
Yeah, very sad. I only met him a few times. Quite the gentleman when I met him, but I don't really know him. Yes, we did book him at the biggest show he ever played, which is an honor. And, you know, as I say to a lot of my friends that are in their 50s, 60s, and 70s, if they're on tour, go see him, because who knows if they'll continue to tour again. You never know. And Robbie sort of retired from touring probably 30, 40 years ago. So, you know, it's a shame.
Yeah.
How many times have you booked the band? Would you know?
Only a few times, because they really stopped touring right after Watkins Glen with Robbie. I mean, they booked the band a lot, but not without Robbie. I mean, Robbie, you know, without Robbie, I should say, I booked them. But, you know, Robbie was the leader and the main songwriter. So not the lead singer, but the main songwriter. And the image of the band was Robbie. But, you know, when I think about it, when you think of Watkins Glen, we had three bands on the show. There probably were, by my rough guess, 15 or so band members, and there were four or five still alive. That's it.
Wow.
That's pretty. It's one member of the band, two members of the Allman Brothers, and Mickey Hart was not at the show. He was not in the Dead at that time. So, I mean, Chuck Lavelle was there, so he was alive, but only Chuck and Bobby Weir and Bill Kreutzmann, who's not really with the Dead now, but are the only ones alive, and Phil Lesh are the only ones alive from everybody that took the stage. J-Mo and Butch, J-Mo and Dickie are from the Allman Brothers, the only two alive, two out of seven on the Allman Brothers.
So only three bands at Watkins Glen. Was that a one-day show?
One-day show.
Wow.
We considered it a concert, not a festival, only because of the number of people that showed up. It became a festival. I understand why people call it a festival when you have 600,000 people there.
Yeah.
But it was one stage, three bands. I mean, that's common today for concerts.
It's one hell of a day, too.
No kidding.
Wow. How many people, those bands, wow.
That's just amazing. All of those people there, and then, okay, thank you, good night.
Right.
Like, wait.
Those
well,
folks are so
lucky. The day before. I felt that way the day before after the sound checks. That's when I wanted to go home. I said to Shelly, let's get out of here. 200,000 people saw the show. Let's go. Everybody played long sets, even though they were sound checks, and let's move on. Obviously, we couldn't.
So it was kind of like a two-day show because of the sound check.
Yes, no question about it. Wow. No, yes, absolutely right.
200,000 people at the sound check.
Man.
These bands were all at the height of their awesomeness, too, live.
Yep.
Do you remember any of the bands set on stage or chatting with them backstage?
Oh, sure. I was very close to... I wasn't friendly with the members of the band, but I was close to the members of the Allman Brothers and the members of the Dead. And there was a lot of time backstage to spend with them. We lived with them for 2 days. And we slept backstage. I mean, we all slept in trailers backstage. So you'd wake up at 4 in the morning and there would be Dickie Betts walking around, or Greg Allman walking around, or Jerry Garcia walking around.
That's just so wild.
Wow. Right.
Nobody would be talking to them because it was 4 in the morning, so I'd walk up and talk to them. And there was a lot to talk about, obviously. Like, what was going on was pretty amazing.
Like, why are you up right now?
And Levon Helms, he was the wild one in the band, right?
Yes, he was the wild one. The irony of the band is I believe Levon is the oldest member of the band, the only one still alive.
Oh, wow. I think I read somewhere he shot himself in a leg. And
did he really?
He was a big partier.
Oh, wow.
Prankster, crazy guy.
Trying to kill a mosquito?
Probably.
I'll get you banged, damn it.
But Jimmy, just being backstage with Jerry and Levon and Robbie and all of the, and Greg Allman and Dickie Betts, you know, if you picture that now, that's like when I hear that and imagine it, I think of like going to Disney and seeing the Hall of Presidents.
Yeah.
Where it's like, wow, all these, you know, together, they're made of wood and they're not real.
Rock icons. But
like, you're, like, this is, it's insane.
The Hall of Icons.
To think you're there as a kid and, like, all these people are walking around. They're legends.
Right.
They were not legendary at the time. They were becoming legendary, and they were all in their 20s or early 30s, and we were all getting crazy together, and it was the early 70s. So it was – nobody looked at each other as being extraordinarily special at the time. We just looked at each other as hippies hanging out together, having a great time, and we did have a great time backstage.
Nice.
I mean, we had a swimming pool that the only way you could go in is if you took all your clothes off. That was – it was a sign outside the swimming pool.
Right.
You know, no swimsuits, basically, it said.
Wow.
Were you concerned with bleach or detergent from the bathing suits getting in the pool water? Is that what it was?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, okay. If that works, then go for it. Okay.
Eric in Fairfield.
I have a 30-foot sailboat with a shallow draft keel, and I want to anchor off of Sound on Sound. Would I be able to buy tickets, a bracelet, and be able to get in?
I'm not in charge of the Long Island Sound. I have no idea if you'll be able to do that. I don't know.
You could buy a ticket and get in.
Yeah.
Where you park your boat, that's a whole other deal.
Yeah.
Did you see other boats doing it last year?
You know what?
I went the second day, and the sound wasn't good. The wind was in the wrong direction. I heard the day before they could hear it off on the water. But I'd like to participate.
Right.
And buy a ticket.
We're putting it much closer to the water. We're putting it closer to the water, so I don't know if
oh, that's cool.
Better that this year.
Yeah.
So,
well, I wanted to contribute financially, as I did back at
well, just give us your money.
Glenn. Right, and then park.
Just buy a ticket.
You know what? Give me the money. I'll hold on to it.
Like I'm getting the cut.
Right.
Jimmy doesn't book the ocean.
Hold on, Rick. Hold on. I'm going to grab your number. I'm going to get this question answered for you, and then we'll address it next week because I'm sure a lot of boaters want to know.
Yeah,
this.
Sounds fun.
Yeah, we have a lot of shoreline between Long Island.
I do kayak out there, and they want to.
Okay.
Get in as well.
We meant boats, not kayaks.
All right, hold on. Yeah, a kayak's not really a boat.
It's like a kazoo in the water.
I've got a raft.
That doesn't count. Right?
Yeah. I have these water wings.
Jimmy Koplik is on. We're getting some texts here for you.
Swan boat.
Teddy Swims.
He asked you, boat sank.
Love Teddy Swims.
Oh, sorry.
No plans that I'm aware of.
Nope.
Eric Clapton.
Not on tour at the moment, but doesn't really tour anymore. Does spot dates because he's got issues, health issues with his hand. So so he'll play dates. Don't get me wrong. He'll play dates. And if he does, we'll try our best to get him into Mohegan Sun. He loves Mohegan Sun.
Nice.
Pink.
Well, hopefully she'll tour again next year, but we missed this year because she played all stadiums and as I said earlier in the show, we do not have a big enough stadium to get the stadium-sized acts into Connecticut.
Let's go to this day in Koplik concert history. I asked somebody what their first concert was, and it just turned out to be remarkably on this day in 1982.
What was your first concert?
August 10th, 1982.
All right, a lot going on there. It was Queen with Billy Squire.
Wow. Yes.
New Haven Coliseum, 1982, on this day.
Huh.
And if you go to my archives page, you will actually see a ticket to that show.
Saw it, yep.
And it says WPLR presents Queen.
That's wild.
Yep. Right on the ticket.
That's wild. 1982. They had all their good stuff out then.
Yep. $11.50.
Wow.
Wow. Which was half my paycheck back then. I'm not gonna lie. You go up to the show, but not eat.
Jimmy, you've done so many shows. Do you remember any of that show? Do you remember being backstage? Do you remember seeing Freddie? Do you remember anything from it?
Well, I remember Queen shows, but we had them at the Coliseum a number of times, and I always thought that they had the best light show in the business at the time, and I thought it was very underappreciated because Queen was so great on stage that people did not realize the enormity of their light show, and they always had the best light show on the road.
That's right. I remember seeing that Killer Queen live album, and it's just all lights.
Yeah.
Like this giant wall of lights, and this is back when...
Killer lights, man.
There are not a lot of lights.
Yeah.
Traveling around with the bands.
Nope.
No, you're so right on that. Most shows traveled with 4 or 5 trucks. Queen had 10 to 12 trucks.
Whoa.
And that's because of the lighting that they carried around with them. And
that's a commitment to the art, because right. You know everybody who's on the profit end of that tour is saying, you don't need all these lights, Freddie.
And hell of a bill at the end of the month.
What the hell did you plug in?
Do you ever, like, when Queen shows up with, like, 10 trucks and then they're plugging all these lights in, you ever, like, you know, like, have to go and, like, flip a breaker?
The whole city goes down. Oh, no.
It happened with Kiss up in Springfield. We blew the building out.
Oh, that's right. You mentioned that. Yes, that's right.
Yes.
That was a
good bad moment when I had to run backstage and Gene and Paul are there, and I go to them and go, you know, we could turn either the sound on or the lights on, but we can't do both. So Paul goes, if we don't give everybody the whole Kiss show, they don't get any show. So I looked at Gene. I go, well, then I have to give everybody their money back, and I can't pay you. Gene says, we'll do sound, no lights. Get on the stage.
Fill up chat with hell of lights.
All right, Jimmy, talk to you next week. Thank you very much. We learned of the Glastonbury Tickler.
Yes, I had no idea.
And we are now opening... that case.
Right.
We are reopening that cold case.
We're pulling by the covers. Here we go.
The cold case of the Glastonbury Tickler.
Yes.
And AJ, you looked it up?
As it turns out, somewhere between like 1991 and 1998, there was a legendary figure, mostly in the springtime, who was breaking into women's houses, and they'd wake up to someone tickling their feet.
What?
Yeah, and this happened, and each time that this person would scream, and this person would make his way out the door. Now, they have also seen, like, you know, footprints in the snow of other houses he didn't enter, meaning that he tried to get into this person's house. They must have locked the door, so he was actually entering the houses he was able to have access to. And multiple women, every spring it happened from 91 to 98.
With more on this subject, let's go to Chaz and AJ. Glastonbury Tickler correspondent Brian Foley.
Good morning.
Who does not want to do this segment. He's doing it out of friendship.
I can hear his face turning red already. All right, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning. Do you remember this case?
I do. So I was a young cop when this comes out, when it starts happening. And in Hartford, which is right next to Glastonbury, we were waiting for this to turn into a murder. Either, you know, obviously, because what's happening, you assume this guy's going to kill somebody, or he's going to get caught in a home and end up dead himself. But yeah, we were certain this was going to turn into a murder.
Yeah.
But by the, you know, when you started to look at this is so isolated to Glastonbury. You know, in Hartford, you're always worried things are going to either come from Hartford or into Hartford.
Right, or a copycatter. Yes.
And it never did. It stayed in that neighborhood. So everyone knew pretty much it was somebody with some issues in that neighborhood.
They even had a serial tickler task force in Glastonbury.
Boy, they put that on the resume.
Yep.
Yep.
Imagine that. Is there a special badge? It's like a foot. Or a feather.
That would be a funny thing on a resume.
Right. Foot patrol.
I was in the serial tickle task force.
It's foot patrol, not a doubt.
I see you're on the tickle task force.
I went undercover.
Imagine not making the team. Like, what did I do?
You arrived late.
So anyways, I think the Glastonbury PD did a good job. I mean, the case was never, an arrest was never made. Now, keep in mind, back in the 90s, in 94, let's call it, DNA was just starting to come out and not touch DNA, you know, like one-to-one match blood DNA. And then that was only for the most, you know, the biggest cases you would get DNA. And it would take months and months. And you'd have to have the best of crime scene processing and great evidence. And none of those factors that exist today were back then. So the Glastonbury cops, all they really had was fingerprints and footprints.
Footprints.
And stuff, so the basics.
Yeah. Yeah. How do you get DNA of a foot? Do you swab it, then you're tickling it too.
Right.
Stop it! I'm getting DNA!
But statute of limitations has to be over. So if this guy's listening, come forward. Come on. We want to talk to the tickler.
Well, I'll let them know if I find out that Jeff and AJ want to talk to him.
Well, you know, they say that there's speculation, theory, rumors that it was actually a police officer. That's how he was able to get away.
I didn't hear that.
I read that in the story.
Where was I back in 1995?
I wasn't saying you. No, I wasn't saying you.
Why did you say a specific year?
I wasn't saying you. But they speculated it was a guy between like in his 20s and 30s, and they said possibly he was a police officer because...
Did they have a profiler?
I guess.
Profiler?
They did.
Yes, I don't know.
A toe filer.
Right, did you go undercover as a woman and like, you know, just pose, hang on? I don't know.
They did. They Glastonbury tried everything, and they put a lot of resources into it, and they brought in an FBI profiler for that. And you're not going to profile yourself. You're going to bring in the FBI. You want to try to catch him undercover, you know, at the right time, and it would have to be so lucky to do it. But the officers did a good job with their neighborhood canvases, talking to everybody, and they had a pretty good idea who it could be. When you look at in such close proximity, all these cases happened. It had to be someone that is from that neighborhood with, you know, great knowledge of the neighborhood. And you start talking to people, who could it possibly be? And you know, you start to get names. And they interviewed two people, and it never happened again.
Wow.
So they were in, so to speak, the right neighborhood when they were interviewing those the two people. So,
and the funny thing is it happened every spring, so you figure what happens in the spring. In the springtime, he's wearing springtime shoes, and that's probably what set this guy off, or girl, whichever one it was. They said, aha!
Yeah,
no, it doesn't happen during like, boot pattern. Season.
So there was a pretty good pattern, and it ended, and that was the important thing, and most likely someone who needed help or medication, but, you know, everyone thought it was going to be a murder, and it just never, thank God, ever turned into anything even remotely like that.
They were thinking, the Glastonbury police, that there were a lot more than 11 cases, that people just didn't report them.
Right.
Or thought they were dreaming.
Yeah.
So this thing was going on. I didn't know they interviewed two people, then it just stopped.
I had no idea.
That tells you a lot right there.
Yep.
Well,
they had the right person, and right. You know, and that's really what you want. And what are they going to have for evidence against them? When you wake up in the middle of the night and someone's sticking to your feet, not that that's ever happened to me, but I can imagine that you're not going to be overly focused and being able to identify a suspect that, you know, through a photo array, a lineup, because it's dark and you're just waking up. And so they would either have to catch him in the act or get a good solid fingerprint internal inside the house somewhere.
Right. Yeah. What do you have? Like your hands in the lineup? Okay. Yeah. That's a number four. Okay. Yep. The one with the long fingernails. And
no.
The,
go ahead. Tickle her feet.
Right. Right. Yeah. Now have her feet. Right. Yeah. Right.
Number four. Step forward.
Right, now tickle. Do it again. Poor girl.
Well, it's hard to identify people when you're going. Stop! Stop!
Right. Yeah. And you're kicking. Stop it! Stop it!
Well, the Glastonbury tickler. Never knew it was a thing until yesterday.
Yep.
Look at this. Even more information.
Yeah, I think that person who called in was a person.
Yeah. He
that
wants person the story. Back.
Why would you bring it up?
Selling it to
Why
Netflix.
Why would you bring it up? Now, what if all of a sudden the tickler rears his ugly head again?
Ugly foot.
And you're right. The statute of limitations would have run on that back then. The cases, the possible charges would not have been felonies or anything like that. So right. It would have run for sure.
Well, town manager of Tallinn and former chief of detectives and deputy chief of Hartford Police, Brian Foley. Thank you, sir. So you call in. We pick up. We say your name. And then you hum a 90s song. AJ, go ahead. Demonstrate. What is that song?
That's
it was like a Viking song.
No. That was the once there was a girl that was like Crash Test Dummies.
Crash Test Dummies.
Yes.
Mayor Elker, New Haven Mayor, gonna help us out here.
Do I get credit?
He said it.
Exactly.
Crash Test Dummies. Right. He's ringer.
Nice.
All right, try another one, AJ.
I'm a little nervous here.
90s.
This is actually not my area of expertise. This is your area of expertise, so I thought we could do this together.
Oh, I thought you picked this subject.
I know, I did. But
you'll get the credit.
Right.
If we don't do well, we'll take the blame.
That's fine.
Usually I take the blame for everything, so this is a welcome change.
Yeah.
You're used to it then. It's good.
Good.
Yeah.
203-882-9757. Hum a 90s song.
Yes.
John in East Haven. Not enough.
Yeah, we need more song. Unless you're having lunch right now.
John?
Down break. See you later. Gotta go.
Okay.
Really?
Wow. I wouldn't even know where to start with that song.
Yeah. Wild thing.
That's what it sounds like.
Not 90s, but
wild thing.
Right.
Yeah.
The remake.
Exactly, right. Yes. Yeah, the Sam Kinison version.
Yes.
Right.
Gina in Milford.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, wow. I'm loser, baby. Bad loser.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Nope.
You have a tummy ache?
There was an air.
You're hungry?
One more time. One more time.
I know this song. Damn it!
Oh, it's epic. It's Faith No More.
Loser, baby?
Yes.
Yeah, you got it, Phil.
Yes.
God, one fell.
Want it all, but have a good day, guys.
Thank you.
Did we ask you to sing?
Nice job.
Please don't sing.
Mayor, do you know Faith No More, or...
So much familiar.
once you become mayor, you have Faith No More.
Slowly losing it.
Yes.
We're doing Stump the Chumps. It's 90s. Name that tune. You got to call in and hum the song. And if you stump us, you get in the running for John Fogerty tickets. Tim in North Haven.
Nirvana.
Like
Nirvana, yeah.
Also smells like
humming.
Teen Spirit.
Yeah, that's great humming, by the way.
That's down.
That's got a cold. You guys got to give me a moment to answer before you jump in here.
Oh, sorry.
You're right.
You're
not being polite.
Right, Your Eminence? Yes.
New Haven Mayor, yes. Justin Elker on the phone.
Right, okay. Next time you take it, Smarty.
All right, good. Give me an opportunity to fail before saving me.
Okay,
you're right.
Okay.
You're right. Okay. You're right. We're back up.
I gotta go.
Roy in Newtown.
Here we go. Ready?
No.
Chili Peppers, but who is it? Chili Peppers.
There you go.
I thought the mayor was going to answer it.
Oh, I'm sorry, mayor.
I
don't know if it's you or me, but it's probably you, right?
Yeah. All right, thanks, guys.
You guys get it? Thank you.
What was the song?
Is that Danny Goffman?
It's Chili Peppers.
Was that Danny California?
No.
No, it was a...
Yeah, that's Danny California.
Yeah.
Was it called Californication?
No. California.
Yeah, never mind.
Epic. Faith No More.
That was epic.
Yeah, that was still epic Faith No More.
Right.
You just did.
Yeah, you're right. Eve?
Yes.
Hello?
Are you going to hum a song?
It's Eve.
Hum.
Wait, is this Eve?
This is Eve.
Eve.
Yes, Eve. Yeah.
All right, we have the mayor of New Haven on, and we're doing a game right now.
Yeah, the humming song thing?
Yes.
Yes.
You say you want me to hum a song?
Yes.
Yes.
Of course.
You guys,
that's the idea, yeah.
I'll hum a song from the 90s.
Okay.
After you guys were laughing it up about me this morning, which I didn't hear about.
Frank in Fairfield.
Hey, guys. Nice.
Let's hear it.
Yeah.
All right, here you go.
I'm guessing.
Stop.
I'm guessing.
That's right.
By the way, brainstorm.
Well, the mayor goes first.
We're brainstorming.
Yes. This is brutal.
You guys rock. Have an awesome day.
Thank you.
I'm sorry. I'm used to brainstorming. I bet. I'll turn my thing off.
We got to keep our storms inside.
Yes.
And then when the mayor says, okay,
we've never
help.
Done a one-man show. I didn't know.
Chris in Brantford.
All right.
Mayor.
It's from
familiar. It's familiar. Can you do a little bit more, Chris?
The trunk. Are you in trunk?
Do you
right
guys
now?
Know it?
No, I don't know.
No. Anybody?
Say no. It's vaguely familiar here, but. And Chris, you got to let us know.
It's called.
Hi, Chris. What is it?
I've been kidnapped.
It's Weezer. Say it ain't so.
Good wheezing.
All right, you're in the running for John Fogerty tickets.
Right.
Do I get to quiz anyone on anything?
Sure.
Why not? Sure.
You're the mayor. You make the rules, by the way.
Really, yes. That's the New Haven theme song, isn't it? No.
Yeah, Spin Doctors.
Spin Doctors.
Yeah.
Am I allowed to answer, Mayor?
Nice.
Do I get tickets now or something? I didn't jump yet.
I've gotten several tickets in your town.
Yeah, they're like $25.
Thank you for your contribution.
Joel in Fairfield.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey,
morning.
Here we go.
I don't know, man.
Nah, me neither.
Can't stop the feeling. That's the song. Can't stop the feeling. Yeah. I can't think of the name of the song. No. Can't stop the feeling. I have no
Anybody?
Idea.
I have no clue.
Yeah.
No.
Did you make it up?
You're Still the One by Shania Twain.
That was a really bad
Yeah, Shania said stop that. Mm-hmm.
You were humming to win, not humming to be helpful.
Right? Yeah, do the main chorus.
Yeah, you hump.
Some respect for choosing Shania, though.
All right, you're in the running, Joel. Thank you.
Good job, man.
Thank you very much, guys.
Thank you.
Eve?
Yes.
Are you calling to hum a song?
I'm here. I'm humming a song. Ready?
Okay, yes.
Black hole sun. Yep. Won't you come?
Nice.
Yeah.
Boom.
Mayor. Yeah.
He owned it.
That's right.
That's right. Uh huh.
Who's the mayor in New Haven?
Yeah.
Who's a good mayor?
All right.
Thanks, Eve.
Have a nice day.
We still love you.
Bye. Bye, Eve of the Struggle.
Is that the same Eve?
Her name is
That was
Eve.
The same Eve.
That's the same Eve.
Yes, it is.
She's mad.
Nice for the second time.
Yes.
All right, Mayor, you did a good job.
Yeah, man.
I'm very impressed.
Kick ass, dude.
Good job.
You guys are kind. I think I was like 1 for 10.
Yes, but good job.
Yeah, the one that counted.
No, I think it was like 3.
The one that counted.
Yeah. Nice job. Always good to hear your voice. Thank you, sir.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.
Black Friday, wow, shop, Wayfair now, month long big deals, yeah, these are steals.
70% less money spent.
You can't go wrong, check out this song. Best in decor, Black Friday sports,
garlands and trees.
Saving with ease.
Lights for your house, lamps for your spouse.
Save at Wayfair.
On dining chairs, mattresses, two sheets, that are you. Everything home, these things in chrome. Here's a clock, area roads, fast shipping, wow, Wayfair is home.
Win the season, win the season.